Welcome to the Building Design Primetime Podcast, focused on providing valuable information for anyone looking to undertake a new build or extension project. We'll share our tips, tricks, and stories from a building designer's perspective.
Welcome to the Building Design Primetime Podcast. I'm your host, Amelia, and once again, we're joined by Frank Geskis.
Hey, Amelia. How are you?
Good. How are you, Frank?
I'm great. Great weekend.
That's excellent.
Come to work, bushy-tailed, bright-eyed.
Like most people, I reckon.
Oh, I love Mondays.
Well, you're probably the only one.
I know. It's weird. I love going to Monday, having a good weekend, and you come tearing back into it. Yeah, it's great.
And we've got another exciting topic to talk about.
We're going to talk about changes.
Changes. Lots of people have changes.
Changes in their design or during the build or, you know, you've changed your mind, you had another idea, you saw something at someone's house and you're going through your process of having your house or an extension designed and you thought, oh, this could be a good idea, you know. But I don't think everyone appreciates like some of the ramifications of the change at certain times of the project. And we'll go through that a bit more, but one of my favourites, and we've had a lot of these, is this, oh, I want to change my floor. I don't want carpet anymore and tiles. I want polished concrete. And they go, okay. And what people think it's really easy to do because it's already concrete, just polish it. Mm-hmm. But depending on the look people want, people love to see a bit of aggregate and stuff like that. And it's not that simple. You actually got to change the process on how they pour the slab and how they protect the slab during the build. So it actually changes the process on how you actually build the house. And everyone thinks it's cheap.
Ooh, it's definitely not cheap.
It's definitely not cheap, but it's a beautiful surface. But also there's the expectation of it's a perfectly flat surface. Tell you what, concrete cracks. And sometimes we don't know why, it just cracks. And that's just facts.
Yeah, and I mean, polished concrete is one of those things people love the look of it.
Yeah, polished, burnished, yeah.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
You know what I find funny? You do a renovation on a building, a house, and it's got a concrete floor, and they rip up all the carpet, tear up, and it's all cracked and mangled and stained and all that, and they polish it, and it looks amazing when it's old. When it's brand new, it needs to be perfect.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we've noticed that on renos that we've done, and they go, oh, I love the distressed look. Oh, good. But when you do brand new, everyone wants it perfect.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to get it perfect. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. But anyway, let's talk about further changes. So changes of ideas, changes of direction, that's all fine. Changes the joinery. But I just want to go through a few things because there's the right time to do changes. And when you start a project, you know, you think your ideas, we call this a scope or a design brief. Call it what you will. And you're clear on what you want to achieve. And when you do first concept ideas and working with the customer and like what they want and how it fits and all this and meeting their needs if they've written down, then they see the plans and, oh, can I have this a bit bigger and a bit more out this way or whatever. And that's okay. That's all cool. And you give advice on why you should and shouldn't do certain things and all designers and architects will do that. Mm-hmm. And that's the good time to make changes and it's, end of the day, it's your castle and you should be able to have input into that unless you just leave it holus bolus to us to do it. That's okay too. We like to include the customer in all steps and make sure we're achieving everything that they want within their wish list and their dreams and their budget, obviously, and giving advice on that. But when you're going through the drawings and setting up all these documents, there's these key stages. One's called planning approval and the other one's called building approval. Pre-planning approval is okay to make changes, generally, and then you go through the first step and you go for council approval or development approval. And from there, a lot of those, the design of the building, the height, the windows, and a lot of things are like set in stone, right? You've got very minor adjustment on that, subject to what's planning schemes and what compromise you had to make working with the council. After that point, any what I call major changes, like if you change the windows, in some cases will require a new planning permit. Changing, oh, the deck's too small, I'll make it bigger. It may trigger planning. Or I want to put a retaining wall in here and a few other things like that. It may trigger going back through planning again. Now, because you've changed your mind, That's okay. There's no problem doing it, but it delays your project. Like in Tasmania, they have a statutory 42 days, 6 weeks to get it done. I know in other states it goes a lot longer. But that means that's 6 weeks out of the process. So it drags on a little bit further. But doing minor stuff inside is generally okay. But when there's a point when you're preparing building drawings, that changes are a real problem. You've got to go back to the start. Okay? So for argument's sake, they want to change the kitchen, change the pantry, laundry, certain things. If you've engaged, you've got to remember we also engage structural engineers. So the design of the lintels on top of your windows and your doors and things like that, how to brace it so it doesn't flop around in the wind, the floor, the roof, all sorts of stuff. They're designing for your house. I've had it before where they've decided, look, I want a really big bifold door. Oh, okay. I saw something on the weekend. No worries. Bifolds are the classic where, depending on the type of bifolds, where the top will they hang off the lintel above the door or they go along the floor. There's a couple of different versions, but most of them hang off the top. That means you've got to get the engineer to design a beam for the door to hang off and then how it operates. And then it's extra structural work. And that may not be easy because the engineer has to go back to the start to redo his sketches and things. So you're going through again. If you've had a thermal performance assessment or energy assessment, it's more glass potentially. So then you've got to get that reassessed. So these are the traps you can fall into when you change things later and you're engaging consultants.
It's a bit of a domino effect at times, isn't it?
Very much so. Mm. But still, it's not as bad as changing it at that stage compared to when you're building.
And people have done that.
I've had some beauties. Actually, we've got a request today. The client wants to change from a concrete floor to a timber floor.
And they've already started building.
No. They're about to. The builder said he wants to change it. And I'm looking at it and says, well, have you done your cost analysis on this? So we're going to go back and we'll certainly provide prices. And says, well, what's the cost analysis? What's the reasoning? There might be a good reason. And that's okay. We'll check it. But the means they've got to go back through the approval process through your building surveyor or certifier to then they have to approve the revised drawings, costing you more money.
Mm-hmm.
And then the council has to restamp them. So you could spend easy $1,000 on an amendment and you might find it costs you more anyway. So there's all different reasons people do things. So you've got to be really aware of when you make a change, what are the ramifications? And that's the same with while you're building it. You're changing a window during the build. I've had that before and it costs the client thousands and delays in finishing the house.
Wow.
And that was what the place was framed and plastered.
Oh, wow.
And the window was in and they changed it.
Oh, you're joking.
No, but that's okay. That's what I wanted to do. But then the builder has to do what they call a variation.
Yes.
So give you a fee to change it and who knows, you could be waiting 3 months for this window. Because during COVID, remember, we were people waiting 6 months for windows.
Oh, yeah, materials were just so hard to get
hold of. You don't know the availability. It's not that simple. Or you change the carpet or you change the tiles. Or you want to change something in the bathroom and the waterproofing has already been put in.
Yeah, wow.
You know, you make these changes and the ramifications are massive. I actually saw it on the block last night. Someone changed something in the bathroom and they've ruined the waterproofing. Now they've got to rip the whole thing apart because the waterproofing's damaged. You've got to redo it all again.
Oh, that's a pain.
That was dumb. No other word for it. I was looking at that. I just walk away.
I know there's a few cringes in the office when we talk about the block in here.
But it's a big cost but time delay as well. But also your changes have to be practical as well. Things like choosing your appliances to go into your kitchen. So once you've chosen them and your joinery is being made, you can't change it.
Well, I mean...
600 oven to a 900 oven.
Or even a fridge, you know, they usually make the joinery to fit the size of the fridge.
Exactly. Mm. Make sure everything's chosen at the start and if you change it, we found a better deal in the fridge, but you may pay for that with the cost of changing the joinery. So making changes have massive knock-on effects, especially during the construction. And I'll always guarantee there'll be delay in the finishing of your project, the potentially the quality of the finish too, because it's very hard to retrospectively finish things off properly because you've changed it or depending on the lateness of it. The delays are massive. So you've got to be really think to yourself, why am I doing that? And also being able to pay for this as well. If you're on a tight budget, you don't change stuff. It will always cost you money. Changing your carpet part the way through, maybe not a big deal. It's where they can get the carpet in time, the tiles, because everything's got to work in a system. You know? As soon as the plaster's in, so if you're putting your first coat of paint on, then certain elements, then they're putting the architraves and skirtings on. You know, there's a sequence things have to follow during construction. And this is no different when we're designing and using consultants. There's a flow on. So if you change something that has to go back to planning, then basically everything stops. It doesn't continue. You've got to go back to that point again and then go on the project. And you've got time delays. And to people, time is just as powerful as money, especially if you've got a builder lined up ready to start.
Yeah, yep.
So it's being conscious of making those changes. Even changing your plumbing, as in change position of your taps, has big ramifications.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Changing your power points when the plaster's already on. Another favourite of mine is changing wall claddings. So, you know, especially with lightweight and stuff, because they have to be approved by the building surveyor.
Yeah, right.
You know, the builder goes, well, I've allowed to put on these battens. I now need a different type of batten, or I need more battens, or if it's brick, I've changed the type of brick, I've gone to block, or whatever it may be. It may change a lot of things. It may change how you do your flashings around the windows.
Yeah, I imagine in particular engineering, that would be a big one.
Yeah, it can be. Oh, yeah, we just had that recently. Yes, I want to change the fireplace to a lightweight. You know, we had a internal lightweight with a box inside. They want to put stone around the fireplace, but it added, I think it was like 75 kilos per square metre.
You're going to reinforce that.
Well, yeah, but it also has a big effect on how it sits on the floor and a few bunch of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So those things. Another favourite is fish tanks. Big fish tanks sitting on floors.
Oh, really? I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, think of it. Big fish tank, that's a lot of water.
Would weigh a lot, yeah.
Weigh a lot, and especially they're only sitting on four legs sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we've had to deal with a few things like that partway through. Because it won't sit on the flooring nicely, so you've got to prop underneath the flooring, depending on the size of it, obviously. So those are the things you've got to consider. And this is where planning out, really thinking about those things, is it really important? And why are you making the change? That's what you've got to think about. Why are you making a change?
Mm.
And also, like I said, if it's to do with your budget to make it cheaper, it may not. It may actually cost you more.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because you can make this change. Oh, if I do this, I'll save a bit of money. But by the time they change all the drawings and move things around, send stuff back to the hardware store to get new stuff and you've got a time delay, may not work.
No, you've got to weigh it up really, don't you, whether it's worth it.
Yeah, and what you think is a small change could be a big change, you know. So, yeah, I just want to make everyone aware that you really need to be well planned on your project. You know, from start when you're doing your wish list, your scope, to then when you're building with someone, that you have everything chosen. You know what joiner is going to, got all your appliances, you know what door handles, what type of electrical switches, what type of skirting, all that type of stuff is all sorted. When you go in and if you don't have it sorted, potentially cost you more money.
I think we have mentioned in a previous podcast as well that organising all of this stuff earlier is just makes the whole process so much easier. You know, all of your fittings, all of your flooring, claddings, all that type of stuff.
One clear document document that shows everything on there, and the builder doesn't have to ask unless I can't get it. You know, I can't get that carpet anymore, or that tile's discontinued. It does happen.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Same. 1 month you can get it, the next month you can't.
Oh, the stock's run out.
Yes.
It does happen. So, and that's why, you know, I believe a colour consultant, interior designer can be super helpful with all that type of stuff too.
Oh, 100%, especially if you do get overwhelmed by all the choices available these days, because there are a lot of choices.
Yeah, and also you think of the timing of your build. If the builder knows everything that's going in and it's very clear, the process of the build is a lot smoother, you know. But, like, you can't control things that are delayed though, you know. Like, I'll use the example of a lift on a project we've just done, and I was talking to the owner yesterday, and he told me, yeah, it's kind of been delayed because they can't get the lift. The lift's been delayed by 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And they're trying to work around and figure out how they can put the lift in retrospectively, but it does make it a lot harder.
That is quite specialised, that area too, so it's not like you could probably go to many other suppliers.
Well, that's exactly right. Mm. They're custom-made to suit, but it just shows that, and that was a two-month delay, and it has an effect on the whole build. And then the final usage. So those things, you can't control that. But be aware, changes can lead to variations in what you're paying for.
and be aware of the domino effect that it has. Yes,
and how many trades it might affect, or in the case of when you're designing, how many consults it may affect. Yeah. So be very sure, ask the question, and then it should go a lot smoother.
Oh, 100%. Planning is everything, I think, isn't it?
Oh, very much so, because you think about what goes in a house, there's a lot. Or an extension, even more so, and I say that because there's a lot of double handling when you're joining it an old piece to a new piece. There's a lot of sorting out of tying into either good or bad construction. You don't know unless you pull it apart.
Here's a question for you. What happens if you do a significant design change that has to go back through planning?
And building.
And building, yeah. And all of that stuff.
During the build?
No, before that. What are the chances of, say, a representation coming up? Could that happen when
it happened?
Oh, really?
They didn't put a representation before, but they did on the second one.
Yeah, so that's another thing to think about too, because that would then add more time.
Oh, astronomical, especially if someone's not reasonable in negotiation. Yeah, it's very much so.
And what's the advertising period? Is that 14 days?
Yeah, 14 days. In Tasmania, it's 14 days because we all have to comply with the same arrangement around the state. But that doesn't include dealing with the objection. Does it go to appeals if you can't negotiate? All sorts of stuff. And it's awful.
It gets messy,
It's really awful.
Mm.
And it could be just because someone doesn't like it, or you've blocked their view.
Yeah.
So you got to take advice on that too. But the good thing is you can pull back to the original permit if it's already been approved.
Oh, can you?
You can withdraw.
Yeah, right. I didn't realise that.
Mm. You're playing with the game a little bit, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So the takeaways.
Yeah, what are the takeaways?
Lots of planning, lots of understanding of where you're heading with this stuff, and make sure your budget is not too tight if you do want to make a change, that you can actually deal with it. But it's being sure, looking around the design stage and the scope, putting your scope together, what you exactly want, is very, very important. During the build, I'd do my utmost not to make a change. Whatever you do, if you can help it, don't make a change.
Unless it's super, super minor.
Super minor, but also it depends on the level of importance to you. Yeah. But I've seen people go berserk changing stuff, and then they get this ridiculous bill at the end of the job, like crazy.
What do they expect, though? I mean, they expect a builder to do it for nothing.
I'm not even going to answer that question because I think you can figure that out.
It seems a bit ridiculous, really.
The builders need to give a variation before they start the work, and it has to be signed and agreed. No other way of doing it.
Yeah, communication is a whole different podcast, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
But if a builder can do that, they're good operators. It's going to cost you X to do this, and this is the time delay. And it's just very clear. It's the only way to do it.
And rely on your building designer too, I think, if you're not sure on something, or if you're not sure how something's going to look. I mean, we have some amazing 3D software that we can use these days if there's certain types of windows or something that you want. Oh, we can mock everything up. Like, it's pretty amazing.
And really, it's best to do it early.
Oh, yeah, at the concept stage.
Yeah, and we get the 3D model. They can put onto their screen at home and spin it round and play with it and see if they're happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big change over the last, I suppose, 15 years, that having that facility to be able to look at things in a 3D manner to see if it looks proportionally correct, it meets your expectations and how it looks. Yeah. And that's certainly saved a lot of changes. From, you know, many years before when I was doing it just in 2D, it's made a massive change in how people make decisions.
And I think in saying that as well, it's a really good idea, I think, to take that time during the concept stage to actually make sure that you're 100% happy with everything.
That's right. You don't
have to rush to try and get it through planning if you're not 100%.
Totally, totally.
All righty. Well, they're the take-home points. Do your research as always.
It is, but also be sure about it. You know, be comfortable with what you choose. But that's another whole podcast.
We might leave that one for next time. We'll wrap it up there, guys. Thanks for listening to the Building Design Primetime Podcast.
Catch us later.
Bye.
You're listening to the Building Design Prime Time Podcast.